Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. This is the word of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Please be seated and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is given to us. And you have sent your Holy Spirit, and that He is working in us. And through the word, He shows us Jesus Christ. He shows us heaven, our eternal home. And Father, let us know more of these things, Jesus Christ and heaven. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly. And bless your people who are hearing your word so that they may understand, and they may know and believe. Give us the joy that only your word can give us. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will finish the Beatitudes today. The last Beatitude starts in verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verses 11 and 12, the verse 10 is explained with more details. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Through the Beatitudes, we have been looking at the pictures of the citizens of heaven. Here in our passage, we see that the citizens of heaven are those who are persecuted in this world. Again, we see that the new age has begun. Being persecuted is now a blessing from God. Now, we are not talking about sufferings or being persecuted for one's own sins and one's own wrongdoings. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 15, make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But in verse 10, it says, persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And in verse 11, it says, persecuted because of me. Thus, the blessed are those who are suffering or being persecuted because of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. The blessed people, the citizens of heaven, the Christians, are those who are persecuted in this world. You see, the Bible speaks of two worlds, two kingdoms, this world and the other world, heaven. And these two kingdoms, these two worlds are completely opposite to one another. They are, in fact, in war with each other. Two kingdoms, two kings, two peoples, two ways of living, two different purposes. One group of people belong to one kingdom. The other group of people belong to the other kingdom. One group of people obey their own king. The other group of people obey their own king. Question is, where do you belong? What king do you obey? Because there are two kinds of people. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to the 17a, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, God says, come out from their midst and be separate. God has put enmity between these two peoples. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Brothers and sisters, there are people of God and people who belong to this world. God is not begging you to come out from this world and enter heaven. No, He has already saved His people out of heaven. And those people, God gives faith so that they may be able to witness who they are. It's about what God has already done If he saved you, then you do not belong to this world. And if you do not belong to this world, then you will be persecuted in this world. From the very beginning, from the story of Cain killing Abel, the non-believers persecuted the believers. Abel did not do anything wrong. According to the Bible, he lived a righteous life. But you see, sinners, they hate the righteous. And you know why they hate the righteous? Because their sins and their sinfulness are exposed by the life of righteous. Brothers and sisters, the world loves the good people, but the world hates the righteous people. Good people they love, righteous people they hate. Righteous people expose their sins. It is as if the righteous brings the prosecutions against them. Luke chapter 16. Let us go there together. Luke chapter 16 verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." They scoffed at Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is exposing their sin, their sinful heart. So they hate him. The world will hate Christianity because Christianity will always say how they live and how they want to live is sin. Well, nowadays, Christians, they don't speak the truth anymore. They compromise. That's why the world even loves churches these days. Pharisees, they scoff at Jesus because they were lovers of money. They scoff at Jesus because Jesus exposed their sins. Brothers and sisters, I tell you how you don't have to go through persecutions in this world. If one does not want to be persecuted by the world, then all he or she has to do is be like the world. Follow the ways of the world. But remember what you read. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Luke chapter 6 verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. You want the praises of the world, and then be like the world. Just like Israelites, even though God have saved them out of Egypt, and He's taking them to the promised land, they grumble. They say to their heart, maybe it's better not to be saved. It was better in Egypt. I want to go back. That's why those people never entered the promised land. They died in the wilderness. Maybe some churchgoers are just like this. Maybe what God is asking is not delight to them. Maybe they're thinking, maybe it's better not to be saved. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand what Jesus Christ has done. What He had to do to save. Oh, they might even say, well, I didn't ask for it. But if you are saying this kind of stuff, what gives you confidence that you belong to God? For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. The world loves its own, but you are not of this world. And that fact should give you the greatest joy that you do not belong here. You are the citizens of heaven. You are the believers, and you will be persecuted in this world. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Isaac and Ishmael, two sons, one father. Out of those two sons, two kinds of people are represented. And he says, you brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. True Christians are compared to Isaac because he is the child of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. If you go back to Genesis and read a story about Isaac and Ishmael, you see how Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And Paul in Galatians using that example to say to us that nothing has changed. It's still like this. Non-believers persecute believers. And the true child of promise, Jesus Christ, he was persecuted. What kind of life do you think a Christian is to live here on earth? That is the question. What kind of life does God expect you to live? What do you think? And when you get that answer, will that answer give you joy? Or actually make you sad? Because too many, many people in this world who belong to this world, Jesus Christ is stumbling block. He's not the joy. He's stumbling block. Christian will be persecuted because of Jesus Christ, whom they love. Sometimes that persecution might even come from your own family. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemy will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. For Christians, sufferings and persecutions are not optional. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It does not say that you might be persecuted. It says that you will be persecuted. This is why Christianity, the true Christianity, doesn't make any sense to people. They will hate it. The world loves its own, but you do not belong to the world. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Brothers and sisters, what an honor. You are and I am called to participate in this glorious life that Jesus Christ lived, the life of suffering and death. Isn't that your and my honor and glory? The world hated Jesus, and the world killed Jesus. How can we expect not to be persecuted by that same world when we follow Jesus Christ? Yes, in the Old Testament, suffering and persecutions were pictures of God's judgment. But now the new era has begun in Jesus Christ. Heaven has begun, and for us who belong to heaven, sufferings in this world are blessings of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted, God says. Do you want to be blessed? Do you really want to be blessed by God? Then live this life of persecuted life. God even acknowledges it. Blessed are those who are persecuted. But we don't want that. Which means we do not want the life of Christ. We don't want to be like Him. No, that's not true. You do want to be like Him. It is your honor and glory to be like Him. 1 Peter chapter 4. Never mind, I'm sorry. We'll go there later. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Let me just give you a little background of this verse. Well, Paul is going around killing Christians. And now he's going to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, Paul, at that time Saul, meets Jesus Christ who is resurrected. And Jesus says to him this, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And there I want you to understand that when Saul was killing these Christians, Christ has already been ascended into heaven. But Jesus says to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? To persecute us is to persecute Jesus Christ. Jesus takes it personally. Whenever this world persecutes you, Jesus takes it as His own. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. And verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in His name, in this name. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Mark chapter 10 verse 39b, Jesus says, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. He's speaking of His cross. And He says, you shall be baptized with the same baptism that which I am baptized. The life of Jesus Christ was the life of suffering. And God calls you and me to participate in that life. And for you and me, it is our honor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14, for you brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. Jesus Christ, His life of suffering was prophesied even in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 verse 2, For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are called to live the same life. Paul describes his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Brothers and sisters, all of God's people are called to live this glorious life of heaven. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. The Christians who are receiving this letter, what kind of life did they live? Listen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And go to 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. And others experienced, well, chapter 11 of Hebrews is talking about the lives of the people of God in the Old Testament. Listen to what kind of life they lived. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And this is the life of Christ. We are called to live the same life. Do you remember what we read? in Isaiah how Jesus, like a lamb that was taken to the slaughterhouse? Romans chapter 8 verse 36 says, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Honor. Live as Christ. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered, just like Jesus Christ was. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty. This is when he was writing this letter. This present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. We have become as the scum of the world. Does that bring joy to your heart? That you are described as the scum of the world? But remember, these kind of people, whom the world was not worthy, even the world considered us scums because we follow Jesus Christ. Because we want to obey Jesus Christ. The whole world, everything put together, is not worthy for people like this. Only heaven is good enough for people like this. And you are this kind of people. For this kind of life, for this life, you and I are saved. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. In the book of Revelation, we see a clear picture of the church, Church of Christ. And from the beginning to the end, what is the common picture that we see of the church? Church is suffering. Church is suffering. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. In chapter 7 verse 14, Christians are described as, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. In chapter 11, the church is symbolized by the two witnesses. And what happens to them? Chapter 11 verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, these two witnesses, the church, when they finish testimony, meaning they preach the word of God, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies, and these two witnesses, they witness what? The church. Their dead bodies will be lying in the street of the great city, which mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Of course! Of course! Their bodies will lie in the streets of this world because their Lord died on the same street. What is the symbolism there? What kind of life do you think you will live as a Christian if God blesses you? If God truly blesses you? In Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, the world is symbolized by the Babylon, the great harlot. 17:6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. What's the picture there? The world is drunk with the blood of Christians. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Why are they blessed? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, you are blessed because heaven is yours. Yes, you will be persecuted here. You will suffer. And if you are really blessed, you might even die. But you are blessed because heaven is yours. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Thus, those who are being persecuted, how do they live? How do they endure that sufferings and persecution? They look forward to heaven. Be glad. Reward in heaven is great. If you do not see heaven, you cannot live this life. Don't kid yourself. If you don't see heaven clearly, how abundant reward that you are receiving, how precious reward that you are receiving, if you don't see it, there's no way you could live this kind of life. Even Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, even he endured the cross for the joy that he sees in heaven. If your eyes are focused on this world, you will hate this life that God is calling you to live. You will hate it because it is completely opposite of what the world wants. Acts chapter 14 verse 22b says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Yes, heaven. This is our motivation. Not just heaven, but heaven is a place where we are able to live with God. Life with God forever and ever. He is my delight and I am his delight. That life is our motivation. Your love for Jesus Christ is your motivation. It's all about how much you love Him. Or is it all about how much you love this world? Because you cannot love both of them at the same time. If you love one, you will despise the other, God says. Don't kid yourself. Some people think that, oh, I could love both. This love and God. But Bible doesn't allow that. Jesus Christ is our eternal inheritance. You possess Jesus. He is your wealth. And because He is so precious to you, that He is better than anything that you know, everything that put together in this world, He is better. That is why you are able to endure this glorious life of suffering for Christ. Let me just read that verse to you. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you and I, we do the same. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Verse 13, so let us go out to Him outside the camp. You remember what it means to go outside the camp? You are judged. In the Old Testament, that's where you are stoned to death. They take you outside of the gate. Jesus suffered there, so let us go out to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Let us go out of this world. Here we have no lasting city. Nothing lasts here. Don't be deceived. You're going to feel so empty after you gain this world. You will realize later how nothing you have when you have this world. Because this world will be destroyed. And everything in it, with it. Be wise, brothers and sisters. Be very wise. Not like these foolish people of this world who thinks that this world is everything. That if they could gain this world and they think they did something, that they're worthy of something. Romans chapter 8 verse 17, if children heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brothers and sisters, to hate this life, this glorious life of sufferings of Christ, to hate this life is to have mind of Satan. Oh, young, you're too much. I won't be saying it if the Bible doesn't say it. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. What kind of faith Peter had? What kind of Messiah that Peter was waiting for? The worldly Messiah. The Messiah who will come and make him rich and make him powerful in this world. And here, Peter hears the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I need to suffer. I need to be captured. And I need to be killed. Peter goes, No. Not if I could help it. I'm not going to let that happen. No. Because I expect you, Jesus, the Messiah, to make me powerful in this world. Make me rich in this world. To succeed in this world. Don't talk about this stupid thing of suffering and dying. God forbid it. I'm not going to let it happen. Verse 23, when he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You reject this life. You hate this life of suffering and death. Then you have the mind of Satan. You have mind of this world. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says. You are stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. You might think, man, Peter is stupid. Why would he say things like that so that he's called Satan? How about you? How's your heart? What do you desire? What do you want from this world? And if you are seeking this world, why do you think that your heart and Satan here or Peter's heart are different? Why do you think it's different? It's all about avoiding the suffering, gaining the world so that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to be persecuted. Because if you are successful here,
Nobody in this world will persecute you. They will kiss up to you. They will act like they love you. And they do love you because through you, they believe they could get this world also. Brothers and sisters, as your pastor, all I want is you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. But the Bible says that you need to suffer. You need to be persecuted. You need to be hungry and thirsty. You need to be poor in spirit to be blessed. So that I want you to want that life so that you will be blessed. Or rather, I should say, so that you will prove to everybody that you are blessed already. Let us live our lives with our eyes focused on heaven. Because your sufferings will end. Heaven is a place where there is eternal life, a rest from suffering. Revelation 7 verse 17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 14, 13, so that they may rest from their labors. Go to Acts chapter 5. And we'll try to wrap this up. Acts chapter 5. The disciples, they are imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And if you go down to verse 41, this is what we read. They are now released. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were so happy. They were rejoicing. Why? Because as they suffer, they realize that they have been counted worthy by God to suffer for him. This is how you think. This is how you understand. That when you do suffer for Christ, you will rejoice because now God is counting you as someone who is worthy to suffer for him. He doesn't give that honor to everybody. He doesn't give that honor to just anybody. He gives that great honor to his own sons. You.
Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul wanted to know what? The fellowship of Jesus' suffering. That is why, even as we're being persecuted, we love those who are persecuting us. We pray for them. We pray that they will too receive this grace, this blessing, that they will too one day be persecuted because of Christ. Jesus says to you, brothers and sisters, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Brothers, my desire for you, and I know this is God's desire, that you would embrace this life, this glorious life of suffering and being persecuted because of Christ. And I would like to motivate you, but I only have one thing that I could use if I want to be biblical to motivate you to live this life, to embrace this life. And that one thing is Jesus Christ. For your love for Him. For Him. To gain Him. Be willing to lose everything. Even your life. He is what you are getting. That's all I have to motivate you. And I just pray that all of you will know how precious He is. That He is worth all that. I pray that you know. That He's worth it. Let's pray to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for counting us worthy to live this glorious life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived for us, the life of death and suffering. Let us embrace this life, for it is life with You. It is life in imitation in You. Oh Father, let us rejoice this life. Suffering for Christ, sharing of His sufferings. Bless all of us who are gathered here. Let us live this life for You. We thank You, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.